Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm not sure what blows me away more, that there are 2 billion people who engage in Wordle play every day, roughly, or that 860 of them nail it on their first try every day. Now I don't feel quite so confident that I'm the only person who's ever gotten it on the first try. And here's why I say that, because if you are a person who always uses the same word to start, my mom generally uses the same word to start. I've got friends who use the same word to start. If that's you and you nail it at some point, because odds are you play long enough, maybe you're going to get it, or at least you're going to get closer to it just by process of elimination. And then you change the word and you keep going, use that same strategy, just keep using the same word every single day until you get it. There's got to be somebody else out there who's done it. I just saw one man respond to us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's not a world record, but it's definitely a New Jersey state record. I'm not sure how he knows that, but okay. Maybe he's in charge. What'd you say?
I said, I'll buy it.
He's actually listening in Indy, so I don't know how he would have any idea that it's a New Jersey state record, but I appreciate him stepping in and speaking for the state of New Jersey, the great state of New Jersey. I am not in the great state of New Jersey right now. In fact, I very rarely do my show from my home state because our network studios are in Lower Manhattan. I am not there. Oh my gosh, I am not there until the night of May 14th again. I know. How will you possibly go through the next 2 weeks without the radio show? Thank you. You're so kind. Or maybe you'll just get a lot more sleep. A couple of you have mentioned, I'll be happy to get sleep the next few weeks. I'm going to take that as a compliment, actually. Thank you. Thank you for listening when you're trying to sleep. I'm sorry that we make it so difficult on you, sort of. Won't be back in the network studios, our headquarters, until the night of May 14th. My question, I'll just tell you now, will be, what did I miss? One half of a series. You have missed one half of a series. But I will have that point have had some time to catch up, but it's impossible. There's no way I can ever catch up on 2 weeks. So if there's some massive trade that takes place in the NFL, if someone gets arrested, if Ipe Mitsuhara finally makes an appearance again or is in court and pleads guilty, Jay, you're going to have to send me any of these major headlines. Or how about this? Can you keep a running list of the big stuff that I miss?
Stuff you missed while you were away? Yeah, I can do
right.
that.
And I don't care, who, like, for instance, if the Thunder make quick work of, I'm hoping it's Russell Westbrook and the Clippers. If they move on, you don't need to put that on the list. I need big stories, like an appearance by Ipe in court.
I don't think we have to worry about that.
You think he's AWOL?
I don't know where he is, but I don't think he's coming out anytime in the next 2 weeks.
the students who were here, and Paul's still here in studio, but the students that were here earlier, Jacob was here too, they were Googling it. Do you know what his bail was set at?
No, I don't. What was it?
$25,000.
Seems low.
It, you think?
Seems low.
He bilked $16 million that we know of from Ibe Mitsuhara. And here's a thought. He'd worked as a translator in the past. Maybe he didn't have clients who were as rich or as notable. But what are the chances that Shohei Ohtani is his only target? His only mark. Isn't that what con men call it? A mark?
A mark, yeah.
Con men and con women. Maybe Ipe had other marks.
It's totally possible, right?
Interesting.
But Yamamoto dodged a bullet.
Well, actually, we've talked about that before. I have no doubt. Well, I shouldn't say I have no doubt. I am confident that if he really did have a gambling addiction and the confession is on the up and up and everything is as it seems now with the investigation, though many of you do not still buy it. But if that is the case and he had a gambling issue and a gambling addiction, well, he clearly had an issue. But if he had an addiction and he's also serving as the translator for Yamamoto, I wonder if he somehow weasels his way into Yamamoto's good graces and maybe with Shohei's endorsement, because Shohei doesn't know, reportedly. If Shohei knows nothing and he recommends to Yamamoto that he also use Ipe to help him with some of these basic accounts and basic responsibilities in the United States that are tougher for him since he's navigating being in the U.S. and playing in the Major League Baseball level for the first time, what are the chances that he also tries to steal money from Yamamoto? Yamamoto.
I don't see anything that would stop him at that point.
Wow. I wonder if he feels the relief too. Whew. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence from Syracuse University. Yes, the photographic evidence of my Wordle, my Wordle dominance. Nah, that's too, that's kind of boring. Boring is a good, no, that's too many letters. Let's see. My Wordle prowess. How about that?
That's good.
That sounds, yeah, that sounds a little more sophisticated. My Wordle prowess.
Do you know what the best starting Wordle word is?
Are you still Googling it?
Yeah,
you are, aren't
you? I'm trying to see more stats here.
Okay. Actually, when we get done with this, I'll have to tell you what I was Googling earlier. Have you ever tried looking at the search list or the most recent searches on a computer at work?
I try not to, but yes, I have seen them.
It's actually kind of funny to see what people are also searching for. And here's the other thing. Google transposes, not transposes, Google, like those searches pop up wherever you're signed into Google. So when I have, for instance, my email, which is always on my phone, and I'm on the company Wi-Fi, when I go to search on the laptop in studio, those same searches pop up, not only on the company laptop, but also on my phone later that morning.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, so there's a lot of sharing. It's really a little bit scary. Anyway, it's kind of funny because you have my searches from home as well as the searches of other people who are not necessarily on company time. But yes, it is kind of funny to see what other people are searching for. Funny, as in haha, I suppose. But also, if you don't want to know the habits of your coworkers, don't look at the search history.
A lot of Amazon in here.
A lot of Amazon. Oh, no. Why?
I don't know. I guess people are buying things.
Why are people searching for Amazon products while they're on the air or while they're running a show?
Not sure. But I will say I have bought something.
I wonder if it's because their equipment malfunctions and they need something quickly and Amazon delivers.
Probably just shopping.
So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, you can see the photographic evidence of my Wordle prowess. That's it. That's it. Own it. And also on our Facebook page. Plus, if you feel like having your mouth water at this hour of the morning or the night, depending upon your perspective, I did share a tantalizing photo of the baked goods I brought to class a few hours ago. Jay knows the island cookies are among his favorites, but Jay, about halfway through the class, there were way too many baked goods still remaining, and so I made a comment about, oh, you guys, there's a lot up here. I don't know, I'm feeling like you don't like them very much. All of a sudden, there was a mad rush on the baked goods, and by the time I left, the Tupperware had been ravaged. They were mostly gone.
It's either they hadn't tried them yet, that's why there were only still some remaining, or they just didn't want to be, like, savages and just raid the entire thing at one time, so they're trying to hold themselves in and contain their actions. But once you gave them the green light, it was kind of like all hands on deck.
They're very photogenic. I don't know what it is. I think maybe it's the lighting, but the cookies and the oatmeal caramel chewy bars are very photogenic.
They're glistening.
Far more photogenic than I am, actually. So I'm really impressed.
I mean, they're good looking cookies. They're better looking than me, so.
Scott says these cookies belong in the aisles of Giant and Safeway.
I agree.
I mean, if I could make money, I know you've said that before, that they could be in the pages of a magazine. Probably not in the Tupperware, though. I could lose the Tupperware and get a plate.
You can package them nicely.
That's true. I could. Maybe when I have more time to be able to devote to baking. Right now, it's still a stress reliever, and I enjoy it. If it became the source of stress, I don't know if it would, but if I started doing it for a business and became a source of stress, then it might feel a little bit different. So for now, I'm just enjoying the fact that I can share with family and friends, although clearly not mailing them through the U.S. Postal Service. We actually have leftovers, and by we, I mean my husband and I, that we are sending to our moms for Mother's Day because we're going to be gone over Mother's Day. I mean, we'll do video calls with them from Hawaii just so they can look around a little bit themselves. But we're sending the packages. And I said to Bob, if you want to go to the Postal Service, fine, because we don't care if it takes 2 weeks for them to arrive. But I actually think I'm going to dial back on that and say, no, you don't get my business anymore.
They don't deserve it.
Yeah. How could I have been burned twice? I said here on this very radio show, never again after the wedding flower fiasco, never again. And then I got lazy and I took the easy route.
That's it.
That's on me. That's on me. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We just saw a post on Facebook, Paul, since Paul is still here. Paul just said to me, I'm not tired. He's hanging out. He can't even hear the show other than me. You can't hear the audio. He can hear what I'm saying and, of course, what he was saying when he was on with us last hour. But he can't hear any of the audio. He can't hear producer Jay because he's not wearing headphones. And we're not being, I guess, broadcast through the... We're not being pumped through the studio speakers. Anyway, I kind of need to take a photo so you guys can see where we are. But he's still hanging out here, playing on his phone. And yeah, and so he's going to remain with us and I guess will help me to stay awake. But he, every time I mention the baked goods, he nods, a big nod. Did you like the cookies or the oatmeal caramel chewy bars better?
Both.
All right. That's the... He did come up and take a couple of extra trips. So we just got this post on Facebook. Ask Paul, did he go to Lafayette Coney Island while in Detroit?
We went to Coney Island.
They went to Coney Island.
Great.
It was great.
Had a hot dog for breakfast.
Ew. Now, why would you have a hot dog for breakfast?
Because it was when we were leaving.
Jay, it's someone just like you. A hot dog for breakfast.
I don't know if I could do that for breakfast.
We had to get a hot dog.
Okay, so they did hot dogs for breakfast. And that was Coney Island.
Yes.
So they have a Coney Island in Detroit.
Yes.
In Detroit.
Apparently, that's what I learned.
Interesting. I didn't know that either. Thank you for asking, Bear. I hope that you heard the answer, because Paul says they did go to Coney Island. They had a hot dog for breakfast. Whatever. I suppose if you can have cookies for breakfast, you can have hot dogs for breakfast as well. So it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence from Syracuse University. We've talked about the two games in the Western Conference that were taking place on Monday night, getting way ahead of myself. Tuesday night, I will not be on the air. Monday night, we had the two Western Conference games, actually both resulting in the end of a series. And so three of the four Western Conference teams have moved on to the semifinals. We also had one Eastern Conference game, and I don't know how much drama there's left for the top seed.
Tatum running the floor. White instead finds the trailer. Jaylen Brown flies through the air. Right hand slam on every time the Miami Heat seem to regain their footing. They get blasted back to the ground. Boston 66.
Rock fight.
Miami 43. Hard to be in a rock fight if you don't have any rocks. Tatum gets an Al Horford screen. Floats it for Al Horford, catches in the paint, kick out of the corner, open, Holiday, three, got it. As soon as the Celtics need to make a play, they go to one of the bread and butter ones all year, ending with a Holiday corner three. White finds the open man, it's Tatum, he's going to put it to the floor, drive and flush with the right hand, drive home safely.
That's the sound that he went with as he was going back.
It feels like every time the Celtics take their talents to South Beach, they leave with a win.
Physicality and purpose was great, and we just got to execute a little bit better. But I thought in the first half our physicality and our activity defensively made up for some of the mistakes that we made, and I think that's important. Is you're going to have a game plan, there's details, but your effort has to be able to take advantage of that, and we've done that. And so the challenge is, can we maintain the level of effort and purpose along with the execution?
The Miami Heat force you to give maximum effort because, again, they want to drag you down to their level. And without Jimmy Butler, that can be even uglier than what we've seen in the past. But they have an identity. They have a formula. They don't care how many points they score. The whole plan is to screw with your game plan, right? Is to make you get out of rhythm, is to make you get physical, and probably in many cases the Heat are confident that most teams can't match up with them physically. But Boston is familiar with the Heat, not their first rodeo. These two teams have been, let's see, opponents in the playoffs, I think, four of the last 5 years. And the Celtics have actually performed better in South Florida in the playoffs than they have in Boston, at least in the recent history of these two. And so now they're 14-3 in their last 17 games in the Miami arena, or in the South Florida arena. The only caveat here is that Kristaps Porzingis left in the first half. The team called it a right calf injury. Jay, there it is again. It's not the soleus. That's Giannis specifically. But we know also that Jamal Murray, despite hitting another critical couple of shots against the Lakers, is dealing with a calf injury, and now Kristaps Porzingis. That's a bummer. Left the arena in a walking boot. And the reason it's a bummer is because Boston brought him in on purpose to be able to change the way that they not only use the interior as a component of their game. And I know they were the best three-point shooting team in the NBA this season. It's one reason why they had 64 wins. But Brad Stevens wanted Kristaps because he said they needed to defend better at the rim. They needed to be a better rebounding presence. He felt like they were a little bit too reliant on wings and backcourt. And so he traded away major pieces of the Celtics and brought in KP. And when he's healthy, he's a game changer. His length, his reach, his size, obviously, even if he doesn't have a block shot recorded, he alters shots and he forces the defense to follow him all over the court because he will, I don't want to say pop, because Kristaps doesn't really pop out to the three-point line, but he will get out to the three-point line, so he forces the defense for the other teams to follow him. But he only lasted 14 minutes in this one. 7 points for him, 3 rebounds before he had to leave the court, and he was in a walking boot when the game was done. So that's a major concern for the Celtics. I don't know if it derails their position as the best team in the East, and the question has been who will battle Boston. I mean, that's been really what they're all about, or what the East is all about for weeks now. But the question certainly is out there about moving forward and removing Kristaps from the equation if he's not healthy.
Nothing changes. Bringing the same mindset, intentionality, toughness, details to the next game, regardless of who's available, it doesn't matter. There's no difference between the regular season and the playoffs. And, you know, all year we've had guys step in and play. So most important thing is execute the game plan and bring the mindset and the toughness it takes.
one of the things that you get from the Celtics, even though the roster is a little bit different this year, I know Drew Holiday is part of it now, though he certainly has a ton of postseason experience. The guys that have been with the Celtics now for several years have been, other than winning a title, have been as deep in the playoffs as you can possibly go. So yes, Jason Tatum, yes, Jaylen Brown, those two guys are all-stars, but also Derek White. And into the starting lineup, he had 38 points. He hit a couple shots early, and so he turned out to be a difference maker as the Celtics actually got behind and had to come back.
I think I got a couple good looks early, and then my team did a great job of just finding me and just empowering me to stay aggressive. So a lot of credit goes to those guys, JB, JT, KP when he's in for us, like Al. Like, I couldn't do it without any of them. And so a lot of credit goes to them and allowing me to get going and get the space that I need.
It's great to be on a team like this that is deep and talented on both ends of the floor, and that on any given night we can have a guy like that erupt and win us a playoff game.
So Jason Tatum, the subject of, now there he's talking about Derek White, but Jason Tatum right in the center of yet another flagrant foul. Remember, it happened earlier in the series, and he talked about how it was physical. He got hit all the time. It's no big thing. Well, this one's Bam Adebayo, and it was looked at 11 ways to Sunday, of course. So we will hear the reaction to that because it was Bam, it was Jason. Tempers were a little bit hot. I can understand that Miami's frustrated. And without Jimmy Butler, again, they don't have the firepower. They can try to drag opponents down to their level, and that will work, but not against a team as talented as the Celtics over the course of a 7-game series. So here are the Celtics on the cusp of advancing. And yeah, while it does take a little extra something out of you to face the Heat, they've just got too much against Miami. And so having Jimmy Butler unavailable changes everything. I hope they don't get chippy and turn this into, what did Sean Grady just say? It's hard to have a rock fight if you don't have any rocks. I love that. I actually just texted him that with ha 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 on the phone, and he responded.
Hard to be in a rock fight if you don't have any rocks.
Sean Grady and Cedric Maxwell, longtime voices of Celtics radio. So he's still awake. I don't know if they flew back and they're potentially on a flight or have already landed back in Boston following this game. But the Celtics are trying to get through this as unscathed as possible, right? Because of how physical it is. These types of fouls can scare you because they look as though they're A, unnecessary. This would definitely be one of those flags in the NFL that would draw the ire of one half of the fans. But it's unnecessary. It's excessive and it's unnecessary. Bam speaks out about it, as does Jason following this break. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, there are photos of things that you need to check out. I wanted it to be a world record. I'm not sure it is now. I'm feeling a little less confident in that, but still really proud. So check out my Wordle prowess, and I'm not spoiling anything. So on Twitter, on our Facebook page, just about an hour and 40 minutes to go until I'm on vacation for a couple of weeks. Yes, I am counting the hours, if not the minutes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence from Syracuse University on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Seven on the shot clock. Well, shot clock's been low, but bad foul committed by Miami.
Oh.
And wow, after the whistle, Tatum launched a shot, and Bam Adebayo knocked him down, and now Tatum is reaching down for his left ankle after Bam hit him after the whistle. And now Tatum has both his hands up at his forehead. What on earth was Bam thinking about? Well, all the discussion about the Caleb Martin undercut in game one, that was an accident. Here, Derek White got fouled by Mills, and then as Tatum took a shot after the whistle, Bam, he was sort of up in a shooting motion, and Bam sort of put both his hands on his lower rib cage and pushed him backwards. And Tatum wasn't really set, so his ankle wasn't really in a position to land that way.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Once again, the play-by-play voice of Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell on Celtics Radio. Yeah, this is just about 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And I will be honest with you, when I watched this live, I thought Jason Tatum was flopping. I still think it was fairly dramatic. I'm not sure that he needed to fall back as drastically as he did. Although, he rolled his ankle on Bam Adebayo's foot as Bam shoved him with both hands. It wasn't hard. I don't know that he would have knocked Jason over even had Jason not come down after taking the shot. I mean, that there was a dead ball foul, or there was a foul called, so it was a dead ball. So this was a dead ball foul. Jason just kind of chucked the ball up there after a foul was called. And while Bam was defending it, he takes his two hands and lightly shoves Tatum in the chest. So Tatum then is up in the air, and because of the extra push, he comes down awkwardly on Bam's foot, seems to roll his left ankle. So this is the whole landing area conversation, seems to roll his left ankle and then kind of falls back pretty dramatically. Again, I thought he was flopping initially, and then I see that he rolls his ankle and that kind of changes things. After a review, the refs called a flagrant one on Bam, but also a technical foul. And then Al Horford, who kind of lost it. He got angry as the elder statesman on the team. He decided to express his displeasure with how this played out and defend Jason Tatum. So it was a bit of a brouhaha. It did take some time for them to go and look at the replay and determine that it was a flagrant one. They're talking about it after the game. When you watch it, it's not nearly as flagrant as, say, actually, Paul just brought up what people were really upset about, the Joel Embiid and Mitchell Robinson in the Knicks Sixers series going back a few days.
Bro, I don't even know, dog. We just going to move on from that. You're going to get me fined.
I mean, y'all saw it. I shot the ball afterwards, landed on his foot. Same ankle that I hurt in game 7 last year that I hurt against the Warriors that I tweaked against the Clippers. So didn't feel good at first, but it was just that. And I don't want to make it a bigger deal than what it is. A little play, I wasn't tripping, moved on, kept playing, worry about the rest of the game.
So for Bam Adebayo, he's careful about what he says. He doesn't want to end up with any type of a fine. So I appreciate that he's holding back and taming the tongue. Jason points to previous issues with the ankle, trying to be careful, thus the dramatic kind of falling backwards so that he doesn't put any weight on the ankle, presumably at all. He doesn't mention much about the foul. It really was a mild foul, so I didn't love the flagrant designation. As Bam says, we're just going to move on from that.
Bro, I don't even know, dog.
It was physical when it didn't need to be, but in terms of being a expression of frustration or chippiness or extracurricular activity, we've seen much more of that in this series and other series that I think would warrant more attention than this was. But Al Horford did not take it sitting down and got a T for it.
I know that we get to playing around and trying to contest shots after fouls and things like that, but there's levels to contest, and if a guy is shooting and the play's over with, just kind of let him be. I know he's trying to compete over there, but I was just mad. I don't want to see any of my guys get hurt or anything like that. So thankfully JT's fine, but it could have been bad.
True, and there is this groupthink out there when it comes to injuries in hoops and hockey and other sports that when the particular foul, whether flagrant or unnecessary roughness, whatever the term is from sport to sport, when that one results in an injury, oftentimes fans and even media will react. And it should be more stringent and it should be extra discipline, extra punishment, a fine, a suspension, a flagrant, because it resulted in injury. That's not how the officials are supposed to determine the designation for the contact. Injuries, they can sometimes happen by virtue of the foul. A lot of times they're freak injuries, and it's a dangerous and slippery slope, I would say, to hand out punishment or to determine if a flagrant is warranted based on the result for the guy who absorbed the contact. If Jason Tatum had injured his ankle, and in fact, Sean Grandy and I were just texting about this, because I kind of laughed. I thought he was flopping. It was pretty dramatic. But if Jason had injured his ankle in that moment by landing on Bam's foot, then it becomes a hell of a lot worse. But does that mean the foul was worse? Does that mean it should have been a flagrant too, and Bam should be ejected? Well, no, you shouldn't be basing the call on the result for the guy who is fouled. As much as that's not fair, life is not fair. Thankfully, Jason's not any more injured than he was. It just was an awkward moment and probably a little bit scary for him initially before he realized that it wasn't any worse. And I appreciate that Al was sticking up for him. It was a mild foul. The Heat are a lot more physical. This was late in the game. The Celtics had dropped one of these games to the Heat earlier, right? So going back to the game two in the series. And so I know they want to guard. There's a lot of history there. But this game was well in hand. The Celtics, after the first quarter, were up by 10. Weirdly enough, the second quarter, the two teams scored a combined, what was it? Combined 31 points. That was it. It was 19 for Boston, 12 for Miami. 12. That's it. Only the fourth quarter did Miami even outscore Boston in an individual frame. The Heat didn't have a whole lot of offense in this one. They don't have a lot to put up against the top seed. I don't think this is one of those frustration, hey, we're going to get inside your heads. We're going to foul you hard and make you think about it. It was just a little bit of contact after a whistle because Jason decided he would chuck the ball up after a whistle. But I'm glad he's not hurt because that would make this a whole lot more complicated, I think. And it would be frustrating for the Celtics in, you know, a few minutes late in a game where, you know, the game, the outcome is already decided. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, the injury for Kristaps Porzingis, a far bigger concern for the Celtics now because he definitely changes the look and the feel of that defense when he's out there. Haven't really gotten anything definitive, but they need him on the court if they want to be the team that won the 64 games this year. Glad to connect with you on social media. It's been a lot of fun to do these shows from Syracuse. I'm grateful for the access to the control room here on the campus at the Newhouse School. And yeah, Paul's still hanging out. Update. It's the Paul update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Mahomes to throw against a four-man rush. Fires it near side to Kelce. Comes back to the ball and holds it in. Touchdown, Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes absolutely took duct tape and just wrapped the ball around the waist of Travis Kelce for a 19-yard touchdown.
Chiefs Kingdom! Y'all hear this? We've been fighting for all right all day. How about a little Viva Las Vegas? Viva Las Vegas! Viva! Viva Las Vegas!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Nope. Singing is not your thing. It's the thing of your other half. She is much better at it. Although I'm not sure. If you polled 100 people, who would be the better entertainer? I don't know. People might say Travis Kelce is a better entertainer or is as entertaining at his craft as Taylor Swift is at hers, though. She just dropped some new secret album, the Dead Poets Society or something along those lines. Maybe that's the movie. Something to do with Poets Society, and people are all in a tizzy over Taylor yet again. But there was Travis Kelce news on Monday, and so we want to make sure we pass it along. Of course, he is staying with the Chiefs for the rest of his career. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. His legacy is secure. He is a Hall of Famer. But he's not done yet, right? He has got a few more years in him. And I would say, too, that because Travis, of the position that he plays, the physical nature of the position that he plays, he takes a lot of pounding. But for the most part, he's healthy and he's out there on the field. It bothers him when he's not out there every game. He dealt with a couple nagging injuries last year, including to start the season. But the Chiefs still believe in him, and he got a big raise with a new two-year contract on Monday. And according to the reports, the deal is worth $34.25 million. Roughly half of that is fully guaranteed for this season already. The rest will be guaranteed on the third day of the next league year. Now, remember, the league year typically resets in March. So about March, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there. If he gets through the next league year and they say, Happy New Year, 3 days later, if he's still on the roster, the other $17 million is fully guaranteed. He posted a video on Twitter, and it's typical Travis Flair.
Back at it again, baby. Woo! I just see a little Super Bowl right there, man. Feels good to be in KC. I remember coming here 12 years ago, man. It's an honor and a pleasure, and I can't wait to get after it these next 2 years, but no better than right now. Getting fired up for this year. Just got on the field with the boys. Doggone, we're back at it, baby. Chiefs forever.
Chiefs forever. Contract is 2 years. I suppose if something goes horribly wrong, they could get out of the deal before the rest of the money is fully guaranteed. I don't know why you would want to. Again, that's if something goes horribly and drastically wrong. And he actually gets a raise, so good for him. And the fact that the Chiefs are defending Super Bowl champions, two-time champions, three in the last 4 years, they very much believe they can chase a three-peat. For all of those reasons, you want to keep Patrick Mahomes' most trusty and reliable target. I know he did not have a great year, we'll say second half of the regular season, but in the playoffs, he was dynamic. He was there every time Patrick needed him. The number of big catches he comes up with. We only played one to start this segment, Mitch Holtis on Chiefs Radio. But man, the third down conversions, when Mahomes needs a target, when Mahomes needs a surefire reception, a completion, Travis Kelce is very often the guy for whom he's looking.
And sweet.
They not only have a productive, prolific relationship on the field, they're now business partners and starting a steakhouse. Jay, what's the name of the steakhouse?
Prime 1587.
That makes sense. Prime 1587. But I'd say something else, too. As much as the Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes relationship is so critical for the success of the Chiefs, what is now being called a dynasty, even if you're not on board yet, they're also not finished yet. But that Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes relationship is at the core of the consistency, even as the receiver room has changed around them. I mean, think about it. And now we're not exactly sure what happens with Rashee Rice, who was a breakout performer for them his rookie year. We don't exactly know what that receiver room will look like. But over the past several seasons, that's been a constant source of change. It's been almost a revolving door at that position for the Kansas City Chiefs. And while Travis isn't technically a receiver, what can't he do at the tight end position? I am continually flummoxed by the fact that defenders can lose a man that big. And how is it that he can be that big and that bulky and that strong and he can still lose you with some type of a drastic cut? He can turn on a dime. He can cut on a dime. V cuts. That's a term you typically use in basketball. he can luge you and he can shake you with a simple V cut. You know it's coming, and yet somehow he finds the most wide open spaces, pockets of space on the field. Maybe it's because he doesn't have a ton of speed and defenders don't think it's necessary to cover him, like blanket him. Also, sometimes he's getting covered by linebackers, which is an unfair fight. Anyway, there's been a lot of turnover in that receiver room. So Rashee Rice is still on the roster. I know they've got Hollywood Brown. They drafted Xavier Worthy out of Texas. Kadarius Toney, Clyde Edwards-Alaire, they're keeping him. Sky Moore is in the mix too. But think about it. Travis Kelce's the number one guy. And the relationship that the two of them have that sets such a high bar for the rest of the Chiefs' offense, it's critical for everyone else coming in line. Noah Gray, he's the backup tight end. I mean, he gets a few catches a year from Patrick Mahomes. But if you're going to change everything else around them, and what you're asking them to do is make sure the rest of the guys, if they're new to the system or if they're young players, that they know how it's done. It puts extra pressure on Pat and Travis, but obviously they're up for the challenge.
Build the beast.
It's a little bit like the Patriots culture. You either fall in line or you get out. You fall in line or you're not part of what they're doing. You're either with us or you're against us, or you're just irrelevant.
That guy.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're on the Infinity Sports Network from Syracuse University. Last hour and 10 minutes for me before I'm able to pack up here in Control Room 3. Last hour, about this time, we were talking about Steven Stamkos and his future. How old is he, Jay? 34?
34.
So with Stamkos, maybe it's about taking less money to stay with the Lightning. John Cooper said he's a Bolt for life, or I think in my mind he's a Bolt for life. The Chiefs aren't asking Travis Kelce to take less money. They're rewarding him for the fact that he's been such an integral part of them winning these three Super Bowl titles. At some point, the same thing they're going to have to do for Patrick Mahomes or for other critical pieces. In the case of Stamkos, and Klay Thompson, him as well, with the Golden State Warriors, same questions apply. Does he want to take less money to stay where he is in a system and a place and a culture that he's familiar? Or will he take more money, potentially his last free agent deal? Will he go somewhere else? Klay Thompson, will he go somewhere else? Or if the Warriors can't pay him the same, will he decide he'd rather stay at Golden State? So those questions, they remain for guys like Steven Stamkos and Klay Thompson, who likely want to continue their careers and have more to give. We don't have to have this discussion about Travis Kelce. I would be shocked if he ever plays in another uniform outside of Kansas City. His legacy is seemingly secure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.